Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. I'm hoping that you all have some great things planned for your weekend. And, of course, I'm so grateful that you are here. I do want to remind you to download our podcast, and that is the Kim Pagano Show on many platforms. And also leave us a rating there. Let us know that you are listening. And also, don't keep us a secret. Follow us all the way through our social, and every day I post something that hopefully is brighter, making your day brighter. I do want to remind you that you can stream us here on KVTA.com. And of course, I always start our show with a moment of uplifting. And of course, today is education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And I love that. I love learning new things, golden nuggets from different people. You can always learn something new. I also want to remind all of you that won tickets, and I hope that I'm going to see you today at the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival. That's happening today from noon to 7, and that is over at the Caneo Creek Park South in Thousand Oaks. So we've got a great show for you today, and one of my friends that has been on my show for numerous times, Amy Newmark, and she will be joining us. And of course, we're going to talk about one of her books. Many does she have? She actually has 191 new Chicken Soup for the Soul titles, and of course, it is her 30th anniversary. And today, we're going to talk about your 10 keys to happiness. I wonder why. That's what my show is all about, the happy, brighter side of life. And, of course, I'm excited to learn a little bit more from her. And, of course, Amy and her husband, Bill, the CEO of Chicken Soup for the Soul, are not only working, they are visiting their four grandchildren and their spouses and their grandchildren. And they are, they've really taken an uplift in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. So, Amy, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's always fun.
Yeah, and you guys actually started a podcast, too, didn't you? Soul podcast?
I have the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast, and I sometimes interview people who have written stories for us, and I mostly spend the podcast time, and it's usually like a 7 or 8 minute episode. I usually tell a couple of stories from one of our books. And so it's a way to be exposed to whatever new books we have out. I tell stories from the new books.
I love it. I love it. And so tell us, you know, I know that you have your 30th year. That is just incredible that it's been going on this long. Talk to us about your thoughts on, one, how it's helped you and, you know, just how many people's stories you hear. I mean, that's one of my favorite things about my radio show, is listening to people's lives and their stories and the best advice and all that good stuff.
Yeah, because you find that you're really changed, right? When you're exposed to all of those personal revealing stories, I find that just like the people you interview share their best advice and their milestone moments so unselfishly, so too do the people who write stories for our books. And I'm so privileged because I get to read these stories, not only the ones that we publish, and there are tens of thousands of stories that we've published, but also the ones that we don't publish, but that are candidates for being published. So I've been exposed to at least 30,000 personal revealing stories where people are really sharing the most important moments in their lives, the best advice, wisdom. And that's the magic of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and that's been the magic for these whole 30 years. It's that we learn so well from people's true stories.
Right, right. What would you say if you could think of it, I'm sure like you have so many, but what would be your biggest lesson, your biggest win from, you know, from all the stories? Is there one that just really stands out?
There are a few that stand out. One of them, and you'll appreciate this, it has to do with getting toxic people out of your life. And that doesn't sound very chicken soupy, because chicken soup is all about love and inclusion.
Right.
But you know what? Sometimes you can't do all that inclusion. If you really have a toxic person in your life and the person is driving you crazy and making you unhappy and you're saying things like, I have to go have lunch with my friend, that probably means that person shouldn't be in your life anymore, at least not to the extent that he or she is. Mm-hmm. And so there was a story that I read 15 years ago. So I was 50 years old, and the story was such an eye-opener for me, because this woman was going through chemo for breast cancer, and a friend drove her to chemo one day and spent the entire trip talking about every single person she knew who had died from cancer. And the woman had the worst reaction to chemo she had ever had because of that negativity. And then she realized that her life was like a garden, and she could weed her garden. And by removing the weeds from her garden, she was allowing the flowers to flourish.
Ooh,
because they would get more sunshine
and
water. Right? So that sounds like I'm being really snarky and not like that.
No,
nice,
not
to
at all.
Soul lady, but.
Yeah, you know what it says, Amy, is we all need to find our tribe, okay? And I'm going to say the same thing that you just said. I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but sometimes even in our own immediate family, you know, people don't have your best interest for you, and you need to release those people, you know, so that you can have your cheerleaders around you. And that you can rise. And so if every single day, you know, you look in the mirror and somebody goes, why are you wearing that? Or why are you doing that? You know, that's not going to lift you. And so it doesn't mean they have to leave your life, but those aren't the people that you want to surround yourself with.
Yeah. So if it's a family member, you're stuck. But you can reduce.
They do say that, yeah. They do say you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family, right?
Yeah, you can reduce your exposure to that person, or
exactly.
Just make a conscious decision. I am not going to let that person bother me anymore. And that ties into the next major thing that I think I knew before doing Chicken Soup for the Soul, but I didn't know enough how to do this. And that is, use the power of forgiveness, and that gets a lot of toxicity out of your life too. And so I'm not saying forgiveness in the way we think of the word forgiveness. We think the word forgiveness means that you're telling people that what they did wasn't so bad and it's okay and don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what forgiveness means. And I even looked up the definition, and according to the Mayo Clinic, forgiveness means that you have made an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. You've decided not to relive whatever negative emotions come with remembering what that person said or did to you. So you know that bad thing happened.
Right.
You're making the decision, you'll stop reacting to it over and over again. You can intellectually know, you know, my somebody-in-law did that nasty thing to me, or didn't invite me to that event, or said that mean thing, or whatever it is, whoever it was. You can know intellectually that that happened, but you can say, that was in my past. It happened. I'm not going to carry it forward with me into my present. I will carry the knowledge that that person did that, which will tie into the get the toxic people out of your life, but I will not let it bother me anymore. And we had a wonderful story from a woman who got divorced. And then for the next few years was telling everybody all the bad things about her ex-husband. And she was even telling perfect strangers. And then her best friend said to her, Lynn, you might as well still be married to the guy. You take him with you wherever you go. And it was such an epiphany. She realized, oh my gosh, I have him inside my head. I'm letting him bother me every single day. He's off having a wonderful new life without me. And I'm still taking all that hurt with me wherever I go. And it was crazy. And that epiphany caused her to immediately stop this obsessing over her ex-husband. And she finally was free and light and able to move forward. And, you know, we all tend to do that, and we have to stop doing that to ourselves.
I love that, Amy. I actually have somebody that's going through very similar that I will actually share that story with them. And it is true, you know, it's like you have to get rid of those stories. It's almost like releasing files out of your brain, right? That you can, you know, get new files. And I love that. Now, is that out of your book, Your 10 Keys to Happiness?
Yes, that's in Your 10 Keys to Happiness, along with some other good stuff about forgiveness and releasing all of that resentment and talking about files. This one woman, she actually sat down and made this very long list. It took her a few days. She made this long list of everything her mother-in-law had done to her, sometimes on purpose and sometimes just because she was being clueless. And she typed up this many-page, single-spaced list. And then she sat down in front of her computer and she highlighted each item, and then she deleted it. And then she highlighted the next item and she deleted it. And she deleted the entire list, and then she said, okay, now I'm going to start fresh with my mother-in-law. And her relationship got so much better, because you know how we always overreact because we're carrying with us the memory of past hurts, and then we amplify whatever the current hurt is?
Yeah.
But if you were coming at it fresh, the current hurt wouldn't be as bad, and that's what happened with her mother-in-law. She ended up with this fresh slate and this fresh approach to her mother-in-law, and from then on, things went so much better for her.
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, really, you know what? That should be like every single day we wake up, we have a clean slate. And so if you are holding somebody, you know, almost hostage in your mind, okay, I would say, because our minds are so powerful that you could release yourself and them and either let them in on a new way or let them out of your life. Like
yeah,
you said, then, if they're family, you know, but you don't have to let them in so where they actually have your, you know, trigger buttons. And
yeah.
That's another thing. Do you talk about that at all? The, you know, there's so many triggers out there. I never even knew about triggers before, but now I'm like, oh, that's a trigger. That's why I'm feeling like this. Okay, let me, you know, walk through that and release it.
You know, we don't talk about triggers, but it actually is a really good idea. And thank you for mentioning it, because if you think about it, I mean, even I was talking to my husband about that the other day about something in business. And I was saying to him, you're really feeling it more than you would because you're remembering that thing that happened before. And so you're re-feeling that thing that happened before. And so it's amplifying the thing that's happening now. So there was one other really cool story that helped me a lot with this whole concept of forgiveness. And that is to look past the action to what was the person's intent. And so we had this other woman who wrote a story. She also was having trouble getting over a divorce. And she went to this divorce support group. And the moderator said, everybody say, I did the best I could in my marriage. Everybody said that. I did the best I could in my marriage. And then she said, now say, my spouse did the best that he could in our marriage. And nobody would say it. And then this woman thought, oh, I know I did the best I could in the marriage. Why wouldn't I think that my husband did the best that he could in the marriage? It wasn't right, and we weren't right for each other, and we both failed. And that was like a switch for her, because all of a sudden she realized, oh, it's not that my husband didn't try. He just wasn't very good at being married to me. But when she saw it that way and she realized nobody goes into a relationship trying to fail, or nobody starts a business trying to fail, nobody does something for you but tries to have it be a failure. We all go in with good intent. When she started realizing that people had good intent, it really helped her to shed so many resentments.
Wow, that's a great story, Amy. I'm sure that you get so many stories for your book. And first of all, how can we let our listeners know how they can send a story to you?
Oh, yeah. So if you go to our website, which is chickensoup.com, and you click on books, and then you'll see a place that says submit your story. So that if you click on that, you will see all the topics that we're working on. You'll see writing guidelines, which will help you craft, you know, the best true story. They got to be true, no embellishment. These are nonfiction stories. And you'll also see the form that you fill out to send your story in. And then once you've done that, and you've copied and pasted your story into this tiny little box, it's kind of like Mary Poppins' bag. Like, it looks really small, but it will hold something really big. Then you won't hear from us for a long time. In fact, if we aren't going to use your story, you'll never hear from us. But if we are going to use your story, you might hear from us in anywhere from 2 months to 2 years. It really depends.
Oh, okay. So you just file them until,
Yeah, we just keep them there. And then, you know, we read every story that's submitted. If you have a story you've submitted to us and someone else is interested in publishing it also, and you want to know, hey, do I have a chance? You can always reach out to the webmaster at chickensoupforthesoul.com, and she can tell you if your story's been read yet and whether it has a chance or not.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. And when you say that, is somebody else going to use it, meaning once it's in there, you're not allowed to have anybody else use it?
No, it's just that if you, let's say you submit a story to us and you haven't heard anything, and 6 months later, someone else comes along and offers to publish the story, and you're thinking, well, I'd rather have it published by Chicken Soup for the Soul. But, you know, I'll take the second choice if that's all that's available. That's when you could check with us and see, do you have a shot, or is it just not a story we can use? And then you could happily go up and get it published by somebody else. But if you do have it published in another book, we're not going to publish it also.
I got you. Okay, perfect. Wow. All right. So leave us with one. I mean, I love Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's kind of like one of those where you can kind of read a little story every day to just inspire you. And I know you have 191 books. Is that correct? Maybe
it's
even more than that now.
I mean, when I look at what's at the printer, it might even be more than that, but it's something like that. Not 200 yet. I know that.
Okay. And leave us with one last, well, actually we're done, but leave us with one thought on the brighter side of life.
Okay. Here's my thought. No matter what's going on in the outside world and how frustrated you are and how powerless you feel, you still have agency over your own life and your own attitude towards things. So count your blessings, free yourself with forgiveness, take walks outside. You're still in control of yourself.
I love that. I love that. You're right. And every day, and you know, it's the biggest thing that I think that the pandemic has taught me is just pause. When you're going through a hard time, pause, and you will, there's always another moment left. So thank you, Amy. I love it. I'm going to have you back again, and I look forward to talking with you.
Thanks so much, Kim.
You got it. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we are going to be talking with Katie Millar Rigger, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Come to the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival June 3rd, Thousand Oaks, to celebrate great music with family and friends. Top country entertainers Craig Morgan, Chase Beckham, and Cam will be there, along with lots of tasty food and beverages and over 75 vendors. Plus, sample hot sauces from around the world. Festival proceeds help military veterans and local first responders. See you June 3rd at the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival in Thousand Oaks. Buy your tickets at wildoakscmf.com.
Are you looking for a way to support cancer patients and survivors in your community? Cancer Support Community, Valley Ventura, Santa Barbara invites you to join their 5th annual Hope Walk on June 10th at Cal Lutheran University. Free registration is now open. You can register, join a team, and donate. This event is a great opportunity to honor cancer survivors, remember those lost to cancer, and come together as a community to support those affected by cancer. For more, visit cancersupportbvsb.org or call 805-379-4777. That's 805-379-4777. Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. My next guest, I love this name. And of course, we're talking about Katie Millar. Is it Weirig? How do you pronounce your last name so I don't mess it up?
You're great. It's Weirig.
Weirig. Okay, perfect. And I love the name of your book, Becoming a Mean Teen Parenting Machine. And it's a step-by-step, your child's actions are not in your control, but your actions are. I love that when you become this like really angry person, you're like, God, this makes me so sad. I don't want to be this person. I love that. And of course, Katie, you were a former actress, a top 10 Miss America contestant. And also you love that thrill of the spotlight, but you kind of gave it all up for your beautiful children. You have five of them. Congratulations. And,
Thank you.
That definitely causes some chaos. And so you've learned to really, put balance back in your life, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we were lucky enough, we had some health issues, and so we didn't know how many kids we were going to get and whether or not we'd be able to have a big family. And so when the opportunity, you know, presented itself with my health to have children. We had five kids really fast. We had five kids in 7 years. And when you say chaos, that is absolutely true. But it's been such a fun experience, such a whirlwind. And but it's also been a chance to kind of drink out of the fire hose when it comes to parenting in the sense that I have three teenagers right now in my home.
Isn't that amazing? I've got four and I get it. They're not in my home anymore. So, and I get to go visit them and they come and visit, but we always get together. And I knew early on that I wanted a lot of kids. I only had one sister and I thought, I used to like look at all the families that had, you know, big families. I'm like, I'm going to get that. I want that, you know? And it is funny what you can manifest. And I did manifest. And now I've got four grandchildren. And I'm hoping we get a few more. So I love that. Let me ask you, first of all, you were involved in beauty pageants and, you know, they have a lot of expectations and experiences that you impacted that you've used to kind of help with your momhood, correct?
Yes. And I think especially as, you know, we've entered this tumultuous teen years with my two oldest children are girls. And I was in a regular on a WB series from the time I was 13 and a half. And then I finished at Miss America when I was 20. So for about 7 years, I was living in this interesting culture that if you've never been part of Hollywood, that is definitely a different culture. And then the pageant circuit is also its own little fishbowl. And in that, I got a very unique perspective on what women of this world are dealing with. And that was years ago. And so even now it's even more advanced in the, in some ways we've gotten better on the attack of women, but in other ways, I think our daughters and our children are up against so much in what the world and society tells them who they are and what they can become and what they should believe about themselves. And so experiencing that as a youth helped me know what I would and wouldn't talk or say to my girls in our home and how I wanted to empower them.
Right. I love that. You know what? It has, women have risen, I would say. You know, my mom was in the studios and my nieces, and I used to be, and I still do a little bit, hair therapy. I used to do hair for Penthouse. So yes, I totally experienced all of what you're talking about. And yet at the same time, you know, I think that society has really put women back on the map. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. And I think when it comes to opportunities for professional endeavors and things like that, we've definitely done better. I think the danger that our girls are dealing with, especially now, and I dealt with it then, but it's even worse now because of social media, is, you know, is body image issues, value, feeling like you're not enough, how you should be, how you should look, what your life should look like. And we all deal with it, just these unrealistic expectations that we get through social media and through technology. And it's something that our children need to be aware of and know that they will be, in some ways, maybe not even intentionally, but they will be attacked at times in their life. And they need to know where they stand, who they are, how they believe that their worth is given to them, and is it through these channels, or is it through, you know, their inherent goodness? And so in some ways I think we've taken a step back because of social media. It has kind of changed the narrative around, you know, how we view women.
I love it. And you talk about your knowing your children's love language. Gary Chapman was on my show. I think that's so important in relationships, but really never thought about it as our children's love language. But you're absolutely right, because then you can, you know, if you're, I don't know, you're giving it to them in a different way and it really doesn't make any difference to them. So when you're talking to them in their language, you're actually communicating with them.
Well, yes. And as you talk about, Kim, you have four children, and I'm sure that in your experience, you did probably very similar things with all of them, but they probably perceived their childhood and your relationship with them differently because
100, absolutely. And you know what, in fact, I'm glad that you brought that up, because what I learned with parents that only had one child, they're like, aren't they all the same? No, they're not. They're not robots. And I remember you know, with four kids. I have two sons and two daughters. My oldest are daughters. And I, you know, there was a lot of, they all had a different road to success.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when parents recognize that the road to success for each of their children is such an individual thing, and when they honor the fact that their children, that they, each child is so individual, and allow them to have a very personal and individual relationship with each child, which can be hard. This is coming from a mother of five and you're a mother of four. It is a time-consuming endeavor to be able to do that, but it has amazing results when you're able to connect with your child on what level they will feel it. And that's the premise of Gary Chapman's book, which is this is somewhat draws on, is that people show love and feel love differently. And so we might be showing love to our child, but it is not breaking a barrier for them and they are not feeling it. And so they walk out of their house and say, Mom and Dad don't care about me or they don't love me. And we're just shaking our heads thinking, how could they not see everything that we're doing to show love? And it's simply because it's a language, it's a communication fail. And so for our children, in order to really feel secure and like they belong within their home and their family relationship, they need to know that they are honored as an individual. And sometimes that comes from just tweaking just a little bit of how you communicate with them and what you're doing to make sure that they are feeling your love and your support.
I love it. You're absolutely right. And let me ask you, you know, there's a lot of kids that are have insecurity and feel insecure. We see, which breaks my heart, a lot of suicides, a lot of drugs. How can, in your best interest, how can, and I don't know if you cover that in your book, what can we do to help them feel more secure?
Yeah, that is something that we do talk about in the book. And specifically, the book was written to address these very things, because many parents would come in and complain about whether it's behaviors or a mental illness or something, and they wanted that behavior fixed. But really, as in everything in life, all of our behavior is a stem of something that's going on deep within our heart or within our soul. And so often what needs to be addressed is not necessarily the behavior of our child, but more, why are they acting out this way? Why are they feeling the need to act like this? And it does almost always stem from insecurity. Now, that doesn't mean that the parent causes it by any means, but it can mean that that can be a invitation for us parents to be able to get in there and say, why is my child not feeling secure in who they are? And the book, as we talk about it in the book, talk about first the love language, but also building a foundation of trust with your child so that they can really believe you. So that when you're talking to them, when you're having these discussions, they're not just rolling their eyes and you know, they put more trust and more credence into friendships or even into mentors and other people, which is can be positive too. But you want to make sure that when you're telling them, you know, things about themselves and their worth and how much you love them, that they are actually trusting that information. And that comes from, as the book says, transforming the most basic parts of your relationship to make sure that they don't feel like you're always nagging or you're always lecturing them, but that it's actually coming from a place of understanding of who they are. And I think those things can start to address these deeper issues of depression and suicide. Although, as you know, Kim, those are so complex. To even suggest there's a simple solution is just, you know, not the case. But it can at least start to put you down the right path to address those really complex things.
Right. And you know, what I have found is, and you know, this is just, it's not by any means putting anybody down out there, but we have all learned from our own families. And then we come into our children, there's no lesson on how to be a mom or how to be a father or how to communicate with our children. And so many times we have our own pressures and our own stresses, and then we, you know, throw them on our children and they're like going, I didn't do anything, you know, and you're rushing and you're late and hurry up, I got to go to work. And, you know, and just take a moment to just really look at your children and know that that's your tribe, your loving family core, and how we can respect them and honor them and not pull them into our stress.
Absolutely. And it's hard because we're all human and we're all, as parents, are just a little bit farther on our journey. But that doesn't mean we have all of the answers or we know how to handle every situation. But I do love how you talked about how things can become negative. And one thing I teach a lot in more positive interactions with your child. Because if you really look back, especially with teenage children who can be a challenge, you really look back into what you've said to them in that day, how you've interacted with them. Has it been a positive thing, or has it mostly been nagging or hurry up? Why are you late? You should have done this. You know, we need to go. Or did you do your homework? And so
pull your pants up, you know,
exactly. And then what ends up happening is it's like a bank account. We just keep on, we're not making enough deposits of love into this bank account that the child will just start to either one, ignore what we say. And then the parent's like, why don't they listen to me? Or two, they'll start to resent us for it and really feel like mom doesn't trust me. She doesn't care about me. All she does is nag me. And so one thing that I've done, and it's been so transformative in my professional practice with my clients that I coach, is first thing we do is improve how many positive interactions you have with your child. So, you know, when they come down in the morning, instead of being like, wow, you slept in, you might say, hey, did you sleep well? You know, and just something even just kind, even just a nice question showing you cared about their comfort can just change that whole feeling of mom cares about me rather than mom is constantly annoyed with me. And when our children feel like they're an annoyance to us, it changes that security and sense of belonging within the home that causes them to search for it elsewhere. And when they search for it elsewhere, you never know what you're going to get. They might land in a good friend group or a good situation, or they may not. And by then, they put their trust in this other group. And parents don't have as much control as they wish they did.
Wow, I like that. So if you could give us, you know, what's your biggest advice that you can, you know, really share with my listeners?
I would say just kindness in the home. I think that's one of the biggest things I see within marriages and within parent and child relationships, is that we are so kind and we smile and we're great outdoors with strangers, but then when we get inside our own four walls, things deteriorate and everyone is comfortable enough to just treat each other a little poorly. And so if I could say one thing, it's just let's improve the kindness in our homes. And I believe that as we do that, kindness will start to resonate from them in their schools and in our communities. And from there, we'll see a kinder country.
Got it. I love that. I love that a lot. And give out your website. Can our listeners, and where we can get your book?
Absolutely. So my book is on Amazon. It's called Becoming a Mean Teen Parenting Machine. But
how did you come up with that, by the way?
That was actually my husband. It's his claim. He loved that one. So that's on Amazon. And then I also, part of my professional practice is anxiety for teenagers, an anxiety program for teenagers. And you can get that at the anxietyhealingprogram.com. And from there, you can find my Instagram page and all of the ways to contact me. So anxietyhealingprogram.com.
And do you work with other parents?
Yeah. So I just have a coaching practice as well, where I work with different families and parents.
Okay, great. Well, follow me through our social so we can connect, and also download our podcast and share our show with everyone. And Katie, this has been really interesting, and I think it's so needed. And so thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Take care. All right, we are going to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jay Otis Ledbetter, and of course, we're going to be talking about Set Free, and of course, his book, Soul Hunger. He's a conference speaker and a lead pastor, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. It's a beautiful morning.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent, where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you looking for a way to support cancer patients and survivors in your community? Cancer Support Community, Valley Ventura, Santa Barbara invites you to join their 5th annual Hope Walk on June 10th at Cal Lutheran University. Free registration is now open. You can register, join a team, and donate. This event is a great opportunity to honor cancer survivors, remember those lost to cancer, and come together as a community to support those affected by cancer. For more, visit cancersupportbvsb.org or call 805-379-4777. That's 805-379-4777.
Come to the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival, June 3rd, Thousand Oaks, to celebrate great music with family and friends. Top country entertainers Craig Morgan, Chase Beckham, and Cam will be there, along with lots of tasty food and beverages and over 75 vendors. Plus, sample hot sauces from around the world. Festival proceeds help military veterans and local first responders. See you June 3rd at the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival in Thousand Oaks. Buy your tickets at wildoakscmf.com.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for hanging out with me this morning here on The Brighter Side of Life. I do want to remind you that if you have a book in you, or you have a business, or you want to share a story on The Brighter Side of Life and business, please reach out to me at 805-419-0008. We would love to talk with you. Also, if you are interested in growing in your business, please reach out to me. I'd love to jump on a call with you and teach you how to speak your business. And, of course, that's the same phone number. Well, I'm really excited to share my next guest, and that is Otis Ledbetter. And, of course, he is also the author of Your Heritage, How to Be Intentional About Your Legacy You Leave. It's so interesting because you never think about your legacy until you get older, and then you kind of go, how do you want people to remember me by? And so I'm excited. Otis, welcome, and I know you've been on my show before. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Kim. It's my pleasure, indeed.
Thank you. Talk to us a little bit about who you are. I know that you actually hold a doctor of ministry degree, correct? From Liberty University?
I do.
Go ahead.
And I was a professor of a college in Southern California for 14 years. And then I moved up. And now I'm a lead pastor at a church in beautiful Fresno, Clovis, California. I have dealt with families and heritage and all of that all of my life, practically.
Wow. And, you know, I love this. You say that there's a hunger, and it's a hunger for your feelings, right? And how to really, like, we're all hungry. We're all hungry. We all feel different feelings. Talk to us about that. I've never heard it said that way, and you actually say we could do a hunger test, correct?
Yes, if you go to hungertest.com, just that easy, hungertest.com, it'll ask you, of course, for your email, because we've got to send you the results, and you answer 10 questions, and it will tell you, really, if I could use the word desire and hunger interchangeably. Those, I believe those are given to us from our Creator at birth. There are 9 of them, and we've with therapists and theologians, and there were 47 on the list at first when we started writing this, 47 hungers. When we reduced them until the list was irreducible separately, all of us came to the nine. Nine, you can't reduce that list any longer. And then what that list does, then it lets you know where you are living your life at this particular time and what hunger you're most likely to be trying to feed. And the nine hungers were reduced to these nine. There's intimacy or connection, intimacy, happiness, contentment, justice, control, respect, truth, achievement, and pleasure. All other hungers will come under that, under those lists. And so when I counsel, one of the first things I will do is I will give them this hunger test. In the book, Soul Hunger, Satisfying Your Heart's Deepest Longing, in that book, there is a much more detailed evaluation. There's 27 questions there. But on the social media, there's only 10, but an algorithm will give you the same result as if you took the 27. Okay. And once a person takes this in the counseling session, then I know if their hunger is achievement or if their hunger is control or if they're looking for justice. You know, today that's a big word. But the one, Tim, that is so interesting, webmaster sends me the percentages of the totals. That's private. I don't get the individual ones. But in the percentages, in the past, before 2020, the hunger that was the most dominant on all of those that were taking the hunger evaluation was intimacy. And it was at about 42% of those taking that, because we do live in a horizontal society where disconnection is rampant, but we long for connection. But the interesting thing is, when COVID, in the midst of COVID, and even after COVID, that percentage went from 42% to 73% of the people that took the evaluation were looking for
connection.
That's so
interesting. That actually came on your website and took it?
Pardon?
You're saying the evaluation, that you had that many, it went up that far?
Yes, it went up that far. Thousands and thousands take the evaluation. And so we think that's a pretty solid number. And we think that's correct. That's right. Because COVID, one of the things it did, it isolated us. I mean, we were to shelter in place. The kids couldn't go to school. Some couldn't go to work.
Actually said that in my last, for me, one, of course, it was scary because it was the unknown. But two, it actually gave us a moment to pause in our life and to reflect.
Yes.
And so I could totally see, I'm actually on your page here, the Soul Hunger, Satisfying Your Heart's Deepest Longing. And I love that. I love that because it's like taking a moment to know ourselves, right? To really know ourselves and to learn about ourselves. Because what was happening is we were all going 24/7. And I know I'm speaking for myself, but I spoke to so many people. And we had, were we happy? I don't know. You know what I mean? But we had a moment to just pause. And I think that was God saying, let's just all stop for a moment. I mean, down to the restaurants, down to the churches,
Yes. And what it caused something that we didn't expect, particularly in our schools with our school children and the parents. It created a trauma that we're still dealing with within the school's systems, that isolation. And that's what will happen. Isolation isn't solitude. Solitude is a good thing, and I think that's what you're talking about. Solitude is fabulous because we can stop and reflect. isolation is really madness. That's when we don't think we can handle things. Something has happened to us. We will isolate ourselves, and we become disconnected souls. Larry Crabb, a very popular psychologist, wrote a book called Connecting. And in that book, he said after 25 years of his psychoanalyzing people and also his counseling, he came to the conclusion that most of the people he talked to didn't have a psychological disorder. Most of the people he talked to were just disconnected people. I think the psychological term they use there is the existential crisis or existential despair, where people are so isolated that all of a sudden they lose their meaning in life. They don't know what their purpose is. And It's not a psychological disorder. That's just a disconnected soul, and it's very easy to walk through that and get to the other side of that. And that's what the books I have written, the Soul Hunger book and my last book called Set Free, released from the damage of trauma, because trauma is damaging, especially when it comes to isolation.
Right. Wow. I love that. And now, so what are we going to find in your hunger, their soul hunger?
Well, what you will find is everything in your life. You have a dominant hunger. My dominant hunger is contentment.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. I hope this isn't personal, but contentment. Does that mean that you aren't content, or you're searching for your contentment?
No, contentment is where I want to see the entire world. That's the goal. Peace, you say. You see, if I can get into the ancient literature, particularly the scriptures, there are nine fruits that they call the fruit of the spirit in the scripture. There's nine of them. God gave us those nine fruit, which is love, joy, peace, you know, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self control. Those things He's given to us so that we can enjoy life. Peace is number three in that list. And with the soul hunger, when your soul hungers for contentment, what you're looking for is peace. And I'm a peacemaker. You know, that's who I am. And so mine is contentment. But you will have probably some of all nine of those hungers. But you will have a dominant one. And if your dominant one is control, you have to be careful how you feed that control. You can feed it with jealousy and anger, and a lot of people like to control situations and people with jealousy and anger. But out of the fruit of the spirit, what it says you should use for control is kindness. Kindness doesn't control; kindness impacts. And
right.
When you are kind, it impacts people to the point they'll probably do whatever you want because
right,
you're just
right.
kind. You know, a kind person. So it's very interesting, but there are a couple of mental health clinics in Southern California that use this evaluation. When you come in, you have to take this evaluation, and they know exactly what your desire and your hunger is, and that gives them point A, so they can move you from point A to point B. Because if I know what your hunger is, I know what is good for you, and I know what is bad for you automatically.
That's interesting. And you know, so everybody, so you're like a baby is born with no expectations to start off with, correct, basically?
Certainly, yes.
And then, except for to eat, exactly. But and as we get older, we have different. Do we change our hunger, our soul hunger, or how does that work?
I think it changes with circumstances. Your dominant one never changes. You always have that. But I tell people, you know, monthly you should take the evaluation, because if you've had a traumatic thing happen to you, you might be trying to feed a different hunger than the one you're used to. And sometimes that's confusing, and you really don't know how to respond. You don't know how to act. You're confused. And So you try to talk to your friends. You try to find somebody that you trust to say, hey, you know, I'm here right now, and I really am confused. I don't know where to go. So you, if you take this evaluation, it tells you where you are on this list. Like I said,
I love it. I love it. Otis, you know what? We are at the end of our show. I'm going to have you back because there's so much more.
I would love
to. Will you send me a couple books to give to my listeners?
I certainly will. Let me know how to get them to
okay.
you, and I will send them
yep.
out today.
Absolutely. And for my listeners that are listening right now, please, if you are interested in this, I would love to get those books to you. Call me right now at 805-419-0008. Otis, how do we find your book, and how do we take your test and find out more about you?
Well, two places. Hungertest.com will get you right to the evaluation, and it will send you an email that will tell you your hunger, and it will send you a synopsis of all the chapters out of the book. That will
okay,
help
perfect.
You start
follow,
the book.
And follow me through social, too, so that we can connect. We are at the end of our show. Thank you, Otis. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me.
You got it. We are at the end of our show, and I want to thank all of you for hanging out with us. I hope that if there's something that I could do, please reach out to me at 805-419-0008. I hope to see everybody at the concert today. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. If you want to lift yourself up, lift someone else. With that, I'll talk to you next week.